Hi, I'm David, and in this third mini-podcast installment, our bigger historical, scientific, and religious development will be overviewed. Previously, I talked about my childhood cult indoctrination and how I grew from that and the questions which arose regarding the biblical Samson story. To my mother, grandmother, and the rest of the cult members, the Samson story was simply an example of God's greatness. Studying it in any other terms was pointless, because you did not question God, period. The tale has a greater context, though, and being aware of that context will considerably enrich your comprehension of Samson and his actions, because it brings new insights into humanity's search for truth and casts a new light on the roots of both religion and science. As you can imagine, at one time our ancestors understood very little about how the universe worked. We made great progress since then, but we've mostly turned our back upon the thoughts which preceded our current investigations. That doesn't mean the general picture isn't known. Rather, it isn't widely disseminated. More than a century ago, scholars made huge strides towards understanding our past. We deciphered many ancient languages and examined a large number of artifacts. Myths and ideas from numerous cultures were recorded and correlated, and a bigger picture appeared. Among the most impressive of those results is a work by Sir James Frazer, a set of books titled The Golden Bough. In them, Frazer presents many early beliefs and rituals, and shows humanity was deeply superstitious, and viewed the world from a magical perspective before religion held sway. In those times, if you wanted revenge upon someone, you might stab a footprint they left behind, believing the action would thereby affect their foot and bring them pain, if not death. Frazer's work of 12 volumes is packed with many more examples of sympathetic magic we once practiced. It also goes way beyond magic and reveals Christianity wasn't something brand new, but was an extension and refinement of many thoughts and practices which came before it. As the saying goes, the only constant is change, and another book by Thorkell Jacobsen titled The Treasures of Darkness is worth knowing about. It documents some of the changes Mesopotamian religion went through over the years. Beginning from the magical approach, Jacobson, who was an important scholar of their history, shows the next major religious idea to hold power is individual gods and goddesses ruling each city. After a millennia of that thought, people started believing they themselves had their own personal deity who would help them if called upon to do so correctly. This is similar to the modern Christian idea, except for the polytheism involved. Finally, as more war came to the region and people's fate seemed uncertain, their imaginations turned away from propitiating gods and to pacifying those warrior figures with flattery of their frightfulness to keep them from harming the people. In other words, their view of the world changed, partly as a result of their exterior circumstances. Another item was also changing: their understanding of the universe. Back in the times of magical thinking, quantifying the world wasn't a priority, but as our viewpoint shifted, it became one. We know that one of the items they focused on was the night sky. The moon's 29 to 30 day cycle beckoned to be understood, and was the basis of our calendar back into antiquity. Venus and Jupiter, with their brilliance at dawn and dusk, when they sometimes appeared above the horizon before or after anything else, drew attention to the fact that some of the specks moved against the background stars. Watching closer, those observers made out the five visible wanderers. Afterwards, our priests tried to make sense of the stars and planets from the perspective of those celestial points being deities worthy of worship. The time frame of this historical phase was from about 3500 BC, and possibly earlier, to 1000 BC for the Near East cultures responsible for our civilization. As hinted at with the moon, counting became quite important. Once our investigators were aware of the wanderers, they eventually wanted to know how often they met each other. The slowest objects take the longest time between meetings, and because of that, a 60-year conjunction sequence between Jupiter and Saturn was found. Nothing they knew of took longer, and because of its celestial nature, 60 gained the title of Anu, the Lord of Heaven's number. Its use on our watches is a reflection of the importance educated elites placed upon it in the past. Based on our archaeological investigations, the Sumerian investigators discovered 60 about 3200 BC, towards the end of the Magic Era. Only two more pieces of information are needed to begin making sense of the Samson story. The first is that ideas continued to evolve, and explanations which once worked no longer fit as comfortably. The second is mathematical astronomy wouldn't appear until about 500 BC. Before then, the only real tool our ancestors had to understand things with was through stories. With that, the Samson story, the greatest of their achievements, can be elevated to its proper place in history. We'll do so in the next post. See you there.